It's been described as one of the biggest dementia breakthroughs in the last decade. Scientists have categorised a new form of the disease, and Cambridge University's Duncan Astle has been perusing this paper for us.
To give it its long title, Limbic Predominant Age-Related TPD43 Encephalopathy, or LATE for short.
It's not the catchiest.
No, but it's got the good acronym, LATE. Yeah. When I say new, well, I'm not suggesting this is something new that has just started occurring. It's been occurring for a long time. It's new in the sense that we have been able to identify it and classify it and separate it out from other forms of dementia. So in this paper, they studied the brains of individuals post-mortem from people who have donated their brains, and they found about 25% of their sample had a buildup of a particular type of protein, which is called TPD23 protein. And it is in limbic areas. That's areas of the brain like the hippocampus, which we know is really important for memory, amygdala, which is really important for emotional processing. The symptoms include things like memory loss, and they're very similar to the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. But really crucially, the underlying cause is different. So Alzheimer's disease is driven by a buildup of different types of protein like amyloid B plaque proteins and tau proteins. And they're sort of tangly proteins that build up inside cells in the brain to the point that they impair the cell's functioning and ultimately they die. So that's one particular cause, and that gives rise to Alzheimer's. But these are different proteins, and they give rise to this new LATE form of dementia.
This is very interesting, but what is the relevance of understanding that this is a different type of dementia?
Treatments for dementia are few and far between at the minute, and it's been incredibly difficult to develop new drugs that will translate to a kind of prescription that you could be given by your GP. So pharmaceutical companies have been very good at finding compounds that work in the test tube or in an animal model of the disease. But when you get to what's called phase one randomized control trial, that's the first point at which that compound will come into contact with human subjects. The vast majority of those compounds fail. Now, one potential crucial reason why they might not work in practice is because when we identify the patients that we want to try the new drug out on, what we're doing is accidentally including lots of patients who have superficially similar symptoms but a very different underlying pathology. So, for instance, let's say we gather a group of subjects for our new drug, and we think they've all got Alzheimer's, and a good proportion of them do, but let's say a third of them actually have LATE. Now, there's no reason that your drug would be effective with them because they don't have the same pathology. Now, when you run your trial, of course, your medication only stands a chance of working in a reduced proportion of your sample, and so the overall efficacy of the drug will always look like it's reduced by comparison with them relative to what is required for a trial. And so the very process of being able to demarcate out different types of dementia with different types of underlying pathology is crucial. The experts in dementia have said this is one of the biggest breakthroughs in dementia for the last decade. And that's because until we can understand the different pathways to having dementia, we don't really stand a chance of developing proper treatments for it.
Do we know how many people may have this LATE form of dementia compared to people who might have Alzheimer's?
Not as yet, and that's because the next step, having identified that it exists and what the underlying cause is to define ways of producing what's called biomarkers. So that's a way of you knowing whether or not a person has a particular specific disorder relative to, say, Alzheimer's. And so that requires lots more work in test tubes and in animal models, and hopefully ultimately with neuroimaging so that we can do it with human subjects.
Oh, I see, because crucially this is whilst they're alive rather than post-mortem when they've died.
Exactly. So to be able to distinguish them from our Alzheimer's patients, to kind of tease them out for the purpose of doing Alzheimer's trials, but then also to study their condition as well and identify treatments, requires that we have ways of detecting it in people who are alive so that we can trial treatments on them. And that's the next step.
Duncan Astle from Cambridge University there. And it was published in the journal fittingly named Brain.